B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show.
Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, where Haiti's the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Yes, what a weekend for Philadelphia sports. We're broadcasting to the Xfinity Studio from Comcast. It is the Mike Missinelli Show. All right. So first things first, the Eagles yesterday. There are a lot of people I hear overly disappointed, and I don't know why. To win over a team they should have beaten, and they didn't dazzle from stem to stern. They started off good. They squandered a couple touchdowns. They got 6 points out of the first couple possessions. They drove the ball down the field. Very early, it was clear to me that they were the better team. And then the Bears come back a little bit. But it was a win that they should have had with no trouble. As it turned out, they really didn't have any trouble. I know we were all panicking there when the Bears got close. But they didn't have any trouble. They won a game they were supposed to win. The other side of it is, can we trust them to do better than just winning over the Bears? That's the golden question. And when you look at the team overall, this is why I've come to the conclusion that there's only so much you can expect from a team like this. They are very weak throwing the football. They just are. And against good teams, you get into good competition, you get in playoff competition, you can't win the way they're winning games. So, and here they come now. The worst thing that could have happened to them is that the Patriots lose to go into a bye. And then the Seattle Seahawks, who just, I mean, they come from nowhere and just win because they got a great quarterback. So the whole season is going to come down to the last game against Dallas, and the Eagles are in a must-win situation to win the division. That's the way I look at it right now. They're not an overall great team. And the only thing that can make them survive to be a viable team that can actually win the NFC is if their defense carries them. Now, their defense played pretty well yesterday. But I don't know if it's a defense that's going to carry you because they did have a couple of slip-ups. The safety, again, with a breakdown on a touchdown or a long bomb play. And overall, I don't think their defense is good enough to say, yeah, they can really do something in the playoffs. So my expectations are, win the division. Get a home playoff game. I want to see you win a home playoff game. If you win a home playoff game, I'm okay. I can't expect blood from a stone. And when you've got guys that you cannot put into a pattern to have a decisive downhill play, downfield play, pass play, I don't know how far you can go. Now, yesterday, they re-energized Ertz, which was good. Alshon Jeffrey looks beat up. It's just simple as that. He looks beat up mentally and physically. He's only going to give you so much. And he gave you 3 drops yesterday, but he gave you a clutch catch. But there's not enough reliable targets that they have, which is why I clamored last week to make a deal for a receiver, and I didn't buy into the fact that Deshaun Jackson was coming back, and you saw yesterday why. He's probably not going to be able to be Deshaun Jackson for the rest of the year if he plays at all. And we don't know where this injury is going to lead. He gets back on the field. Like I said, I predicted he's going to be pulled right out. And if you want to believe the ruse that they took him out for precautionary measures because they had a bye week coming up, I think it's a lot of bunk. They needed him in that game more than anybody yesterday. You saw how their pass game was slogging down. If he was capable of playing, they would have had him in there. Don't give me the propaganda that you were saving him. All right, so that's that. People are waiting for me to get to the punchline, Tyrone.
No, they're not.
Saturday night. Saturday night. I'm burying the lead. Saturday night. Late night. It was close to 1 in the morning when that kid from Turkey launches one to beat the Portland Trailblazers. And you knew what was coming next. The Twitter onslaught. Corky! Your assessment, please.
Of Cork Miles?
Of both things.
All right. First things first, the Eagles.
Uh-huh.
I hear you. I don't think they can win the division.
Mm-hmm. You don't think they can win the division?
No.
Really?
And the reason is this receiving core, I've been looking at it,
mm-hmm.
and I've been looking at the numbers. This receiving core is actually far worse than I think any receiving core we remember. It's worse than any receiving core that even McNabb had. And McNabb never had, until T.O., never had receivers. And I'm recognizing that. And I used to always defend five because of it. These guys are worse. The last 5 weeks. 5 weeks now. That's not insignificant. DeSean Jackson, 1 catch, 5 yards. Hollins and J.J. combined, 0 receptions for 0 yards the last 5 weeks. Also this season, Mack Hollins, who plays about 50% of the snaps. When they go to 12 personnel, they put Aguilar. They leave Aguilar on the field because he's better than that. He has 125 passing yards this year. He's on pace for less than Doriel Green Beckham had when he played. Yes, he's even worse than him. He has 126 penalty yards. He has more penalty yards this year. Mr. Special Teams, Mr. Blocker, he has more penalty yards than receiving yards. I do not think you can make the playoffs with receivers this bad. I know Ertz. Maybe Ertz and Goddard, maybe something happens, and maybe Sanders is able to take a step, or maybe Sproles in the passing game, because he can run a complete route tree. Maybe he finds the fountain of youth after the bye and feels spry. But as is, I don't think with these guys, because I don't think DeSean, we're going to see him again. I think he's finished. I think he's going to get surgery.
I think you're probably right about that, which leads me back to last week when people were ripping me for, well, you can't mortgage your future. Look at your future. You needed to grab a receiver to back up the fact that you were so weak there. You couldn't rely on DeSean Jackson coming back. That's just fundamental thinking. And so there it was. Complete evidence. So I agree that I don't agree with you that they can't win the division. Because I'm pretty sure they're going to lose to the Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks here. But
so that's already 6 losses.
Yeah, but they can beat the Dallas Cowboys and finish 10-6.
So they went out after that. And that's not impossible, yeah. But I don't feel great about that. This team with these receivers having this little margin of error. But I will admit one thing. The defense, they can't carry you, like you said, for a playoff run. I do think there's a chance that they could carry the team for a game.
Yeah, they're okay. Again, it's hard for me to measure because that Bears team is so woeful offensively. That quarterback, that's got to be the biggest mistake in the history of that franchise when they took him that high thinking he was a franchise quarterback. He stinks.
They traded up and then both Mahomes and Watson, top flight guys, and he goes before both of them.
Yeah, the whole thing's ridiculous. So the defense played well yesterday. All I'm asking for them is to beat the Cowboys. And that's the one game I think a defense can win against the Cowboys. So, other than that, I'm pretty resolute in what this team is. And I think most Eagle fans are. They're not stupid. Eagle fans are smart. They see what this team is and what this team isn't. And to think that this team is going to catch lightning in a bottle and go deep in the playoffs probably is misguided. But as we stand here, that win yesterday was a win that we thought they were going to win. And now the next two, we'll see. I think they'll lose them both. But they still, it doesn't put them out of it. Because you got that game against Dallas late in the season, they win, they're probably in with it winning a division.
You're probably right. And it just bothers me. And what troubles some fans is, it's not just this year in a vacuum anymore. Once you win a Super Bowl, you're looking at, okay, this year, let's just win a division, win a playoff game. And then the hope is you build on that into next year. A lot of times that happens. You think, okay, I don't trust Howie enough because Hollins and JJ are so bad They're so bad so far this year. I mean, it's unbelievable. They are historically, even for the Eagles, historically bad. And this GM picked those guys.
Yeah, and here's the bottom line. As a fan, we misjudged them. We gave them more credit from really how good they were. And they misjudged themselves. And I'm talking about the people who run this team. They misjudged certain players being able to come back and help them, being relying on older players that were going to make the same difference that they did when they were younger. That's a complete misjudgment on their part. So here we stand, and it's a win, and it should have been a win, and now we move on. You got a bye. You don't have to think about football for a little while. You think about the Sixers. So what were you thinking about Saturday night, Tyrone?
I was impressed with how they – because Portland shot better than 50% from three. I was really impressed with the defense they played as a team late in the game, the shot making, and then Ben Simmons makes two big foul shots in the fourth quarter, not afraid to get fouled, which was a big moment. I know people are looking at his overall stats five games in. I'm looking at it in these, there's now twice now he's been in the fourth quarter. He shot 3-for-4 one game, 2-for-2 big ones there, and Horford's a hell of a passer. So I like this team. I like this team going in. Obviously, all year. I don't think we'll be wrong about the Sixers the way we were wrong about the Eagles. And that the game reinforced it. The Korkmaz thing did not move me the way it moved other people. It did not move me.
You know what? It moves other people because I'm so anti-Korkmaz. That's why.
So they're just picking on you. I'm glad they won because I'm a Sixers fan, but it didn't move me. Again, though, it's better that he made the shot than if he missed it. Maybe some confidence helps, but I need to see more from Korkmaz because his one shot doesn't change the prior track record for me. So the one shot didn't make me think all of a sudden he's a stud wing. I'm not there. I'm glad he made the shot. I'm a Sixers fan. I'm glad. But I'm not there with some people going, oh, he grew the bomber. He's ready. Yeah. I'm not there.
It's the last moment that we remember. And I look at it differently. I rate the overall ability of a player. And a 1 3-point shot is nice. Doesn't make him a good player. It doesn't make him more than a EuroLeague player. So there's that. All right, 610-632-0975. It is Football Monday. Football Monday on the Fanatic is brought to you by Bryant Heating and Air Conditioning Contractors. Visit nopaybryant.com for a heating contractor who will do whatever it takes to help keep you warm this winter. We'll go over the game. We'll go over the final drive, which was the thing of beauty, frankly. So we got to give them credit for that. They ate up clock. They balanced it. They made third downs. It was a nice thing to watch. And we'll talk about it today. The Mike Missinelli Show. It's on 97.5 The Fanatic and NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, it is the Mike Missinelli Show. Day after Eagles game, and Sixers win. Sixers back at it tonight. Yeah, college basketball starting tonight. All kinds of stuff going on. The 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson. HVAC, Lyon Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors. Visit Ferguson's counter location. It's on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. Equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. Now it's time to start the Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons. You know, autumn is here. That means a lawn full of leaves. Head over to Paul B. Moyer & Sons in Doylestown. Shop their selection of battery or gas-powered blowers. They're a necessity for every household, and they'll help you clean your yard with ease. Visit paulbmoyer.com for store hours. Natalie Eganoff.
Hello, Mike. Happy Monday.
How was your weekend, Nat? All right?
Oh, just lovely.
Good.
As always. Today's poll has over 300 votes on it early. Can the Eagles realistically win the division and a playoff game with these receivers? 42% say yes. 58% say no. So,
you see, that's what I'm talking about with the Eagles, smart Eagle fans. They see the limitations. They can't, like, make stuff up in their head when they see what's going on out there.
Right.
And there's a lot of fans who are saying, why are people upset about the win? I don't think any fan is upset about the victory. It's better to win than to lose. But I think that the flaws that show in the win is hard to shake.
Yeah, it's a dose of reality.
Now, if they win the same way, hypothetically, against the Patriots, they come out to buy, they get a lead, Patriots, and then they come back and they finish the game off, then it doesn't matter against the Patriots or the Seahawks. Mm-hmm. But against the Bears, it's hard to be fully satisfied from that kind of victory because the flaws, and every week, I think everybody wants a player to step up, and it never happens.
No, there shouldn't be any delusions about that victory.
Somebody actually tweeted to Birds Outsiders yesterday, and I think that they summed it up perfectly and said, why do I still feel like I want to throw my TV out the window when they're winning?
Well, you see, you shouldn't get
because it's that frustrating.
That's going too far.
Well, I mean, I think it was exaggerating, but there's still basically there's still so much frustration in the game.
Well, you got to get used to the fact that this is not going to end up as a Super Bowl year like we thought it would. As soon as you come to grips with that, then you can enjoy the rest of the season. Right? Frustration shouldn't be able to tear you down because you see what the reality of what they are is.
Yeah, and there are some positive takeaways from each game. Like, I like that Mills, one, has come back fully healthy. You worry about setbacks with any player coming off an injury for that long. The fact that he's made it through three straight games now completely healthy is a positive thing. And I think he's been ranked, like, the eighth best corner so far. Hasn't really been tested, but he's been healthy. That's a positive. Mm-hmm. The quarterback's not turning the ball over. That's a positive. Dillard played really well, but it's just still hard to get over that
Here's the thing that kind of bothers me. That they Andy McPhailed it. The front office Andy McPhailed this whole thing. And if they didn't, then I gotta go, wow. You mean to tell me you actually thought DeSean Jackson was gonna come back and make that much of a difference? Really?
Correct.
Now, you've been in this game for a really long time, Howie. Now, how do you figure that? So the McPhail part of it is, well, let's weigh it. Is it worth giving up a couple draft picks? We grab a guy who might not be able to take us where we want to go anyway. So let's kind of like play it this way. The fans won't know. Well, I know. You can't con me. That's why I was yelping. Add a receiver. At least make it interesting. All right, let's go to the phones. Eric in Long Island starts things off. Eric.
Mike, before I get to the big picture and the Cowboys, two quickies on yesterday. One with the offense. You know, with the DeSean Jackson injury, we know he's not getting any better. You know, Antonio Brown's not walking through that door. That ship has sailed. You know, Howie didn't address the wide receivers last week. You know, I mentioned Odell Beckham to you. Maybe the cap hit was too much to incur for years to come. You know, to me, Jordan Matthews or Dante Moncrief off the waiver wire, you know, Doug's taking a look at wide receivers this week. To me, that's not the answer. It is what it is. They're going to have to dink and doink down the field with this, you know, 12 personnel with the tight ends and the running backs and get creative on offense. But let's give this quarterback a little credit, though. Last 2 weeks at Buffalo and yesterday, two eight-and-a-half-minute drives to steal a game. You know, it's, everybody points out Foles, but nobody wants to give Carson some credit. So
I agree 100%. Now, the reason I don't give Carson credit because he's not making big plays, but he's not making big plays because there's no dynamic guys to make big plays except for Miles Sanders. But I totally agree with you. It takes engineering a drive and converting third down, and three of them were close, double digits. What, 13, 3rd and 13, 3rd and 9 is pretty damn good.
Absolutely. Now, as far as the big picture goes in Dallas, let's keep in mind the Cowboys play three football games by the time we take the field at 4:25 against the Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Giants tonight, at Minnesota at home Sunday night, at Detroit at 1 o'clock. We're going to need a loss in one of those three games in Dallas to get them to four by the time we take the field against the Patriots. But if you're the Eagles right now, if you're Howie and Doug and the personnel, you get to week 16 at home against Dallas, knowing you win that home game and back it up the next week against the Giants, and you don't have to worry about anybody else helping you out. To me, that's as far as this team could go. You win a home playoff game. You take care of business there. And to me, the only team I'd give them a remote chance to beat the divisional round of the playoffs, because I think it'd be a low-scoring game because they don't have a dynamic offense, would be the 49ers. They could win a 17-14 type of game. But if they have to go to New Orleans or a second trip to Lambeau, with the way their offense is right now, they're not going to be able to keep up with those teams.
Yeah, I don't know, but the 49ers, we've taken them lightly enough. The Eagles can score 17 on that team, to be honest with you.
Probably right. That defense,
especially going there. Like, I can't see them winning that game. But, you know, He made raised a great point about Wentz, because you're not going to hear people go, "Oh, Wentz played a great game." You don't hear that kind of thing unless he makes big plays. So let's look at that final drive. 3rd and 3. I'll give Jeffrey credit for as bad as he played with the drops and as little concentration as he had in that game. He made a tough grab there on 3rd and 3.
For sure.
All right. 3rd and 13. Nice. Sanders out of the backfield. Beautifully designed play. So it's a combination of a good play call, quarterback executing it. 3rd and 13. Swing pass to Ertz. Very well called. That play is a great play call. He delivers it to him. And finally, 3rd and 9. Fourth option, maybe. No, or maybe not. Screen to Goddard, get you the first down.
Yeah, he
four really good plays.
Yeah, really good play call. And then he sold it on the Goddard one because it was middle screen. Mm-hmm. Left, right, froze the guy, throws it to Goddard. Goddard makes a nice run after the catch. That was a really good drive. And that's an encouraging drive.
Tremendous drive. And so they get the 3 from Kicky Boy. And then Kicky Boy puts his magical sand trap spin on it. And then celebrates Tyrone when the Eagles recovered a fumble on the ensuing kickoff. What did you think of the kicker celebration?
Did not love that. Because what I'm afraid of is we've seen him physically bail out a lot of times. Like when he bails out physically. I'm worried about somebody else just not liking it and getting near him. And you know what happens to him when football players get near him. He crumbles.
He was just he was so happy to be a part of the moment. He could see it. He was like,
yeah. He tweeted it out today. He took the video and tweeted it out today. I was like, I just feel like that's dangerous for a kicker who doesn't want to make contact with anybody. Akers, in his mind, I think Akers believed he could have been a middle linebacker. I don't think Elliott thinks that. Like I do, I think Akers feels like if he was Trotter size, he'd have been a linebacker. Like in Akers' mind, he was a football player. I think had I been bigger, I would have been a football player.
You know how many stories I heard about him whining to against the long snapper? His entire career.
Wait, what do you mean? What do you whine about?
He would tear into Dorenbos.
What?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
He never struck me as that kind of guy.
He is such a little weasel.
Was he?
Yes. Really? I thought he was a football player doing karate.
No, hell no.
I think he thought he was a football player.
He would actually get mad at the snapper.
About the snap.
All the time that it wasn't perfect.
Oh. Well, never mind. But I thought he thought that. I don't think Elliott has any illusions about that.
No, he projected a toughness, for sure.
In his mind. I didn't say he was tough,
Lord,
Mike. I like kickers less than you do.
Stop it with Akers.
I like kickers less than you do.
No, I just...
I'm mad at Kicky Boy, too, for celebrating after missing an extra point.
That little soap opera dramatic bastard. You going to give me Akers?
I don't think that was the whiner.
I'll tell you who likes to stick his face in there.
That punter.
That tough Aussie SOB.
No, he is.
He gets in there two different times.
He stuck his nose in there twice in that game. One up the middle and one on the sideline. He's not afraid. Like he's not afraid.
Oh,
he's been their best player, the punter.
God.
He's been great.
Yeah.
Gonna be the Pro Bowler, like you said.
Yeah. When Elliott did that, you can just imagine the generation of young Skippies who told their mommies and daddies, you know, one day I hope I can put a backward spin on a football like Jake Elliott.
Come on. Cut it out.
Let's go to John in Bryn Mawr. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mike. How you doing?
What's up, John?
Just to get into it, a couple things. It's just ridiculous. You know, I saw Deshaun yesterday. I was at the game, and I'm like, how long is this going to last? And within 5 minutes, he was out of the game. And all I could think is, man, wouldn't Emmanuel Sanders look so good in Eagles uniform? I know the Cubs was calling for it. I've been calling for it for weeks. But imagine the possibility if they had Emmanuel Sanders and Jalen Ramsey on this roster. Don't you think they'd have a better opportunity to make some noise?
There would be no way to get both of those players.
Oh, why do you say that?
You're talking about two players? You'd have to give up like 4 draft picks. They weren't going to do that.
Well, yeah, but I hear you. But let me ask you a question. Wouldn't you have done 2 first-round draft picks for Jalen Ramsey?
Yes.
You know,
I would have. I said it at the time. I would have.
Right.
But right now, it's clear they need a wide receiver more than they need a D-back.
Well, I totally hear you. But wouldn't you have given up anything you needed to do to get Emmanuel Sanders? Looked pretty good on Thursday night.
Well, what did they give up for him?
It was a third and a fourth for him?
Would I have done that? I probably would have done that.
Yeah, of course. Of course. And here's the other thing. The guy's got versatility.
But you couldn't have given away two ones and a third and a fourth for two players. Oh, man.
but they can't draft anymore, right?
Listen, they weren't going to empty their draft bucket. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but come on. Second round pick, our second white side? Come on now. Like, really? The guy can't even get on the
field.
But they can't
tell themselves they're big, bad drafters and say, oh, well, since I suck as a drafter, I might as well give away all my draft picks. You can't think like that.
Yeah, but what you're doing is you're getting proven commodities. That's what you're doing.
John, come on. You gotta come back to earth. They weren't going to give away four or five draft picks to get those two players.
I don't think it would have taken four or five draft picks.
It would have taken two ones and at least a third and a fourth.
Listen, I know you're laughing at me, but before you cut me off, when Furkan hit that three ball, you were the first person that came to my mind. Not just saying that he's the guy.
Came to everybody's mind. Because people couldn't wait to get on Twitter and tell me how good the guy was because he made an open three.
Well, I mean, we still...
Oh, hey, Mikey, but you were wrong. He made an open three. He's great.
Hey,
Come on. I don't get influenced by people who don't know the game. Seriously. I don't get influenced by people who see a big splash and then take that to the next level and say Korkmaz is a good player. He's not. He's a EuroLeague player. Now, can he make a shot every now and then? I guess anybody who's in the NBA can make a shot every now and then. What I'm telling you is he's not going to be the main guy that makes jump shots for him all year. And if you think that, you got to go buy a book called Basketball for Dummies. That's what you do. Thomas and Broomall, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, Thomas?
But I want to talk about the Sixers and Korkmaz. Mm-hmm. I really didn't think that the Sixers were going to win, against Portland. In Portland, you know, their backcourt is fantastic with McCollum and Lillard. But, you know, Korkmaz coming up big, and that was like a wide open three. Mm-hmm. But,
did you see the other end of the game by any chance? Did you see Rodney Hood cook his ass for like the 16 minutes that he played? You didn't see that, Thomas?
I did a little bit.
All right. Okay. I'm going to make sure you did.
I know it's a big if, but if he can give us 10 to 15 points a game,
Come on, brother. Come on. Come on.
But will you give him credit if he does become, you know, the most improved Sixer, if that ever happens?
He won't.
No.
He won't, so I don't even have to go to the next.
Okay, and one other thing.
Yes.
So, you know, since the Sixers are still undefeated, you know, what game do you see coming up that, you know, you can say, you know what, that's going to be a tough game. I see them losing to Utah?
Yeah, that's the next one.
They got Donovan.
They're only a slight favorite tonight.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, it's the Suns. They got Booker, right?
Yeah, so they may lose to the Suns tonight without Embiid.
Yeah. And Jazz, they have Mitchell and who else? Conley, I think.
They got Joe Ingles. They got a nice squad. They got Rudy Gobert.
That's true.
A nice team. Yeah. Utah's good. They're going to be a contender in the West.
Yeah, they're in the mix. Clippers are showing that they're not perfect early. And, the Lakers don't really want to play defense, so it's going to be very interesting out West.
Sixers could lose two in a row here.
They could, and then win the last game before they come home.
That line tonight is really telling.
I don't know. A lot of people are high on the Suns. People are very high on the Suns.
1 point line with the Suns?
Yeah, they're number two in defensive efficiency so far this year. People are high on the Suns. They think they can make the playoffs now. People loving Monty Williams out there.
Yeah, they're not good. they're too young.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
That they're too young.
But they could win this game tonight. Sixers coming off that win, relaxed a little bit, going to Phoenix. Second game with Adam Beat, it usually settles in.
Yeah, I actually think they beat Utah, though. I do.
Yeah?
And
with Joel coming back?
He matches up well with Gobert for some reason. Don't know why. But he always matches up well.
But it wouldn't be any skin off my nose. They lost these next two. They're still the best team in the East, in my opinion.
They are, and the Bucks losing the Celtics show that.
Yeah, Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chris.
Yeah, what's going on?
What's up, Chris?
Yeah, I got a question. What is with this belief that the Eagles can just willy-nilly beat the Cowboys? Am I missing something?
What's the belief that the Eagles can do what with the Cowboys?
Beat the Cowboys. It seems like you know how sometimes when the Eagles go into a game, they like, okay, well, we feel like we can really win this one or it'll be a tough one. I feel like that the Eagle fans are taking the Cowboys lightly.
No, they're not. I'm just saying that the Eagles will have to beat the Cowboys in order to win the division.
So you're saying it from like a must-win perspective.
Well, I'm also saying it from a revenge situation. Usually it'll go like one wins one day, the other team wins the next day. It's not hard to believe that the Eagles can win the second game against Dallas since they got smoked in the first one.
Well, I'm saying based on the first one, I mean, if the personnel. Well,
when is that? When does that ever part? Just like in the division games, it doesn't really matter if one team smokes a team the first time, right?
Yeah.
It all evens out usually in division games.
Right. But what I'm saying is just based on the personnel not really changing that much on either side, I just don't see. I mean, if the.
Wait, did I miss something? Did Dallas turn into some super team?
No, I didn't say that they turned into a super team.
All right. They had a day. That day, they had a day. They're not that great.
But what I'm saying is, I'm saying based on the matchups.
I don't know. To me, the matchups may look like they're in favor of Dallas. But again, there's this ebb and flow to a season. The Eagles are in a must-win situation in that situation. And so you have to throw all like the logical stuff out if you think the Cowboys are better, which I really don't think they're that much better. And the Cowboys have a tougher schedule to be tenderized a little bit by the time they get to that Eagles game.
So wouldn't that kind of put them in a must-win as well at that point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, it would, but they're playing tougher teams here coming down to before we get to that game. So they may be tenderized a little bit.
Are you
a Cowboy fan?
Of course, but I'm
listen, if you think they can win, knock yourself out.
I'm just trying
to convince me that the Cowboys are the better team.
I just wanted to know what did you see just so I can have a better.
I go by ebb and flow, and the ebb and flow says the Eagles in that situation coming off a thrashing might be a little better prepared than not to take a thrashing. But I'm not sitting here telling you that the Eagles are going to beat the Cowboys. What I'm saying is they're going to have to beat the Cowboys. And to me, the way it goes, usually in a division, they probably will beat the Cowboys, and they'll get in the playoffs that way. But if they don't beat the Cowboys, then they go, well, that wasn't that outlandish a result, you know? These Cowboys fans, we have to get, like, affirmation.
It's so odd. And there's so many Dallas stations they could call. And the Eagles play Washington, a very bad Washington team the week before. So they shouldn't be physically taxed going into that Dallas game. It is realistic that with the ebb and flow that the Eagles find a way to win the game.
It's not like I look at it and go, well, since the Cowboys smoked them in the first time, the same thing's going to happen. That's not the way it usually works in the NFL, especially within the division.
And didn't the Eagles...
Cowboys fans, don't be insecure about your squad. And if you believe they're better, knock yourself out.
The Eagles beat the Packers. The Eagles probably aren't better. The week before, the Cowboys have to play the Rams. The week before the Eagles play, they play the Eagles. Yeah. So the Eagles play Washington. They play the Rams. Cowboys will be coming off a tougher game and probably a more physically taxing game going into that game, and they'd have to come here for it.
Yeah.
It's not crazy.
I'm not going to be a yahoo for the Eagles here. It's very realistic that the Cowboys could win that game. It's also realistic the Eagles could win that game.
Yeah, mentioned ebb and flow.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
coming
I'm
off
sure
the Rams,
Cowboys
is tough.
Cowboys might be a 3-point favorite that game, which tells you it's a pretty even game.
Yeah.
610-632-0975. One line's open. You can grab it. Mike Mussinelli Show, radio and TV. Back after this.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Ah, 2:46. Mike Misnelli Show. 97.5 The Fanatic. Yes. So, bye weeks are the worst. No football for a week. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it. Did I say I hate it?
How do you really feel?
I hate it. because without football and anticipation, you're left with it. It's like you're in a void. Now, the Sixers, I get it. Some Flyers games. But the anticipation now with this football season and a bye popping up at this time, it's really hard to take. But we'll push on.
Yeah, it's challenging. It's tough. Yeah. But get through it.
Yeah. It's low-hanging fruit. But I was surprised the Bears-Eagles game did not merit a better announcing crew than they got yesterday.
I mean, these teams were both playoff teams last year.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I guess they didn't have any high regard for this game. The Bears had a losing record. And the Eagles with four losses. So, but I don't know what to say about Dick Stockton. I have great empathy for people who are probably too old to do the job on a regular basis anymore. But yeah. It makes the network look terrible when you get mispronunciation of names and you get the wrong team and. You get the Darryl Sproles, I heard, and
Saunders.
And he went the Saunders.
And he pulled a Philly Jeffries.
Yeah, Jeffries. And then he went, it was Darren Sproles, who was about 5'2" across the middle of the field, and he went Aguilar on him.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
And then he said that Ertz was down on the touchdown, where clearly he wasn't. He said he was down at the one. That also means that the spotter didn't help him out at all. So it's like a double whammy. Like this, he's up in age now, maybe lost a little off the fastball, and the spotter's not helping him. So it's like, come on.
Yeah, well.
Not just made for, you know, a less fun.
It's like a cringeworthy situation.
It is. But, I mean, I you're in a tough spot, though, because he is a long-time guy. I guess he's earned the right to go out on his own terms.
And then Schlereth made a colossal mistake late in the game when he brings up the movie Rounders. And he does a Teddy KGB impression. Hanging around. Yeah, you remember they're sitting at the table?
Yeah.
And he did Teddy KGB, and Stockton goes, "Oh, that's a good Irish brogue there."
Oh.
So he had no idea with the movie, first of all. And Sherry go, "Well, I think it's Russian, but whatever."
I didn't hear that.
Yeah, so he went too far.
Yeah.
Schlatter can't expect Dick Stockton to get a movie reference like Rounders.
Right. Yeah, that's not his wheelhouse. And maybe you could discuss that. Like, do they have any, do they talk at all? That's a wild assumption. Rounders is like a movie that everyone's seen.
You know, Andrew was producing me before you came aboard.
Yeah.
There's certain things. Andrew's a kid, so he had to have the depth of movie knowledge. So it would be like sometimes he would be lost in movie references, so I stopped doing them because then he'd be lost. Like, Schlereth has to know.
That's what I mean.
That 85-year-old Dick Stockton would not know about Rounders.
Right, you have to do a movie that he's definitely seen. Godfather.
Like Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
that's where you should have called it.
Frankly, Scarlett.
John in Bryn Mawr. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Yo, Mike, what's up?
Thank you, John, for
taking my call. I really hate to beat the dead horse with Deshaun, but, you know, we need something exciting to watch. Let me ask you this. Let's say he needed to be like 75% to play, and he gets out on the field, and he's only 74. Could they just have sat him because we got a bye, and then that'll give them 2 weeks to heal up more.
You're telling me Deshaun Jackson?
Yeah.
Should they have done that?
No, I'm saying is that possibly the case? Like, could he be coming back maybe, and they just wanted to give him more rest?
Let me ask you a question. If the guy's healthy and you need him in a game, did you need him in that game yesterday?
No, that's
of course
what I'm
you
saying.
Did. Of course you needed him in that game. You're only up 6-0. Wait, well, why would you take a guy out of a game that you need him to play in? Because you have no passing attack unless he's in there. There's no way you can make that decision to conserve him early in a game.
Isn't it riskier though to lose? You're
buying their propaganda.
No, and I just need someone exciting to watch.
Well, I know, but if he's not capable of playing, they didn't take him out because they wanted to preserve him for the other games. They got to win that game. They can't bail out on that game if he can play.
He's
pretty much done, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's
yeah. He went back out there and he tweaked it again, which is exactly what I thought would happen. So it's not like they're not preserving him. He was hurt. He just can't do it. He can't go.
Mike, one more thing.
Yes.
We're talking about how we can't pick any wide receivers or corners or safeties. Do you think some people don't want to come here possibly and play?
No.
No?
Nope. Why would they not want to come here?
Because of sometimes we get a bad rap.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, they won Super Bowl 2 years ago. People don't want to come? That's what I care about. Players don't care that Philadelphia has this reputation of being, come on. If you do, you're not a competitor. Right?
Yeah, you don't want that guy anyway.
Yeah, it can't be an influence on, two influences. One, salary. Two, can you win? Dwayne in Pleasantville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dwayne. Yo, Dwayne, turn off your radio, buddy. All right, well, let's go. Drew in Westchester. Drew, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Drew.
Hey, Mike, thanks a lot, man.
What's up, Drew?
Thanks, Dwayne, for not paying attention. Real quick, I missed the Rounders quote, but I was thinking of a different one while I was watching that game yesterday, and it was more the KGB going, I'm so dissatisfied, just like a college kid in for the quickie,
quickie. Yeah, well, he did that scene. Schlatter did the scene, hanging around. And Stockton goes, that's a pretty good Irish brogue.
that's pretty pathetic, man. Yeah. So 62 yards from three wide receivers in a game, that's not going to cut it. Some guys get that. One wide receiver gets that in like a catch or two, in a game. Mm-hmm. So we definitely have issues at wide receiver, and I don't know if there's any solution to it, Mike.
There is no solution. You have to bite the bullet and hope that your defense can win enough games and ball control can win enough games offensively.
Yeah, it was good enough
against the Bears. Now,
exactly,
you got two games coming up where it's probably not going to be good enough. But again, it all comes down to the Dallas game anyway. Can you beat Dallas playing that way? Yeah. Yeah, you can beat Dallas playing that way and win a division.
Okay, I'll take your word on that.
Yeah, now, can you advance in the playoffs a great deal playing that way? Probably not.
No, yeah, that's my point. And then as far as the Sixers go, everyone needs to chill out with the whole Corkman thing. It was a great pass by Simmons to get him a wide open three there. I like the pass better than the shot, to be honest with you. I thought that was a great inbound by him. The love for Corkman needs to chill a little bit.
It was a nice shot. The people that look at him and say, boy, he can really shoot. His form is not that great, first of all. He's a one-hand launcher. It's not like a clean-looking jump shot. It's not Bradley Beal.
No.
It's not Rodney Hood. You see how pure Rodney Hood shoots it?
Yeah, it looks great.
Yeah, it looks great coming out. It doesn't look great that when Korkmaz shoots it. In fact, he threw a couple feeble short ball attempts up in that game, right?
Yeah.
And it just so happened he makes an open three. Good for him. There are guys in the NBA that can make that shot. Now, is it going to carry over? Is he the guy that you can rely on to be your sniper? No. No, he's not. And they're probably going to need that kind of player eventually. All right. 610-632-0975. Just remember, folks, one shot does not prove you can play NBA basketball. Mike Mussinelli Show, we're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.